Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago. And the Jewish people is rolling on. It's a big week. Big week on a lot of levels for the Jewish people. I want to send our blessing to everyone who will be going to Washington, D.C. May your voices be heard. And may we remember that all of this is what we call hishtadlut, good human effort. It's what we're put here to do. But never to miss the eye on the prize, that it's really the Almighty who controls the levers of history. And this is a beautiful expression of Jewish unity, but ultimately it will not be the powers of that be in the halls of Washington or Paris or Moscow or Abu Dhabi that determine the fate of the Jewish people and the welfare of the Jewish people. It is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it is Hashem alone who will do that. And therefore, God bless all of the people going and marching. May you be successful and may you show the tremendous unity that is the Jewish people and the tremendous blessing that is the Jewish people. But at not any moment should we forget that our salvation does not lie in Washington. Our salvation lies with the ultimate CEO and King of the universe, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Okay. So that's a big week coming up for the Jewish people in that way. And then we have another big week, big thing happening this week is Project 613 is having our first Shabbaton in our new downtown center in downtown Chicago, which is going to be unbelievable, exciting, shooting for 100 people in that room on Friday night. And we are on our way to getting that. Super excited about that. So if you know any young professionals, Jewish young professionals, downtown Chicago and Chicagoland area, please tell them about it. Project613.com/Shabbos in the City. Okay, it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic event for dinner or lunch or both, even better. Okay, now, I'd also like to tell you a soft launch, you will be seeing this hopefully in the weeks coming, of our way that you can help fill our center. Jews love shopping, everyone knows. And our new center is unbelievable. It just needs to be filled with all sorts of cool furniture. And so therefore, if you want to check out project613.com/shopping, okay, go have a day. Shop. And people give donations sometimes. Hey, where does that go? It literally goes to buy that item for our center. So we made a little Amazon type page and go have a day. And you will be seeing that. But hey, go get grab your mitzvahs, enjoy your shopping. Project613.com/shopping and fill our center. All right. I'd like to share tonight, before we begin the main section of what we're going to talk about, the moral GPS, or unfortunately the lack of it in our modern world, I have to share some really heartwarming stories that are coming out of Gaza. No one wanted this attack on the Jewish people, and no one wanted to have to go in and take care of business and clean up shop over there. But there is just some unbelievable things that have been coming out of this. Obviously, the unity of the Jewish people is an all-time high in modern days. And the awakening towards Jewish connection and observance and affiliation and identity and standing up with pride to be Jewish is at an all-time high. And to see these things that's happening, these soldiers who, each Friday, what comes out, everyone to what extent gets your news and your videos, clips sent to you or however you get them. And I have seen so many soldiers on tanks in, gutted structures that were destroyed in Gaza of Israeli soldiers, Jewish soldiers, making Kiddush for Friday night. They're making Kiddush. They're there. They're in their tank. They're in the field. They're singing Lecha Dodi. They're welcoming the Shabbos. It is absolutely incredible and unbelievable that in those circumstances that they're doing that. And I think we'll get to why they're doing that in a moment. Obviously, they're Jewish. They want to do it. But not just that. We've seen tons of reports. I mean, every Jewish soldier is basically wearing tzitzis. I heard tonight that there was an order put in for 270,000 pairs of tzitzis to fill the demand of the Israeli soldiers. Is that absolutely incredible? These tzitzis that are special fringes at the end of the garment that only religious people would wear. Now every Jewish soldier seemingly is wearing these Jewish special mitzvah garments. Okay, pictures of tefillin. We have our own very special Gal Parat, a picture of him with tefillin, who is our Project 613 participant, who is in Gaza currently, sent us a picture of himself in tefillin, and so many Jews wrapping tefillin. Then we saw absolutely unbelievable story of a man who is a soldier, who is literally in battle gear, and he's calling into the bris. Now, those of you who have not been to a bris, what happens is at that moment after the baby has the bris milah, then there's the naming. And it's a very tender moment with a person who's making the blessings over the cup of wine. He turns to the father and it says, "And his name shall be called among the Jewish people." And there's this pregnant pause, like, what is the name going to be? And the dad whispers the name into his ear. And the person, usually a rabbi, distinguished family member, announces the name. But what was unique was this time the announcement of the name was done by phone, because the father was in the field. He was in the field itself of battle, and he announced the name Dor. Dor is the name. Dor means generation in Hebrew, and he was named for a Dor Chadash, a new generation. How powerful, how powerful. And to top it all off, I saw a story, I saw the actual video of it, of something called a pity on Haben, which is actually a pretty rare mitzvah, that one's firstborn baby is a boy and it's not a C-section, and there were no previous miscarriages that went beyond a certain point. It's actually very rare today to get this, all the circumstances of a pity on Haben, but evidently they did. And they did the pity on Haben. There was a Kohen soldier and this father who is not a Kohen, and the ceremony involves a Kohen. And unbelievable, in the middle of the battlefield, there wasn't live shooting at the time, but literally they're in the field. They did a pity on Haben, a redemption of his firstborn son. Mi ka'am cha Yisrael goy echad v'aretz. Who is like the Jewish people, one nation in this world? Truly unbelievable. There is absolutely an awakening of the spirit of the Jewish people. And yet, and this is what we are going to focus on tonight, there are many non-Jews around the world, but unfortunately, even some Jews who haven't woken up. And they are siding on the side of evil. They are defending what Hamas did. They are, and I'm not sure how I feel about this phrase, but they're siding, they're on the wrong side of history. I have a little bit of a, not so sure about that phrase. But either way, they are getting the moral equation wrong. And if you think about logically, rationally, what in the world happened? How could you miss this one, right? The never again of the Nazis, what, they had to come marching down the street with the swastikas, and other than that, you can't identify evil when you see it? How hard is this? You do not need to have seen all those videos. Just read a few of the reports. This is not hard, folks. This is the moral litmus test of our generation. If you miss this one, you will never get a moral equation correct. It's like if you can't add 2 + 2 = 4, you are not going to get multiplication or division or any higher math. You are lost. And there are many people, especially in elite universities and distinguished institutions, that have totally missed 2+2. They have missed the moral mark. And the question is, how in the world can that happen? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give you an analogy. An analogy of a GPS. Now, a GPS is something that we live with every day. I actually remember the days growing up where we had to take a map even, right? And then we would have something, called MapQuest or whatever, online. You'd print out the directions, but then it wasn't live, okay? And then finally, eventually, you got live directions. But we now rely on them. We rely on our Google Maps, on our Waze, or whichever device and app that you use. So sometimes when you go on Google Maps and you type in Michigan Avenue, it'll give you many options. Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Michigan Avenue, Detroit, Michigan Avenue in South Carolina. And imagine you wanted Michigan Avenue in Chicago, which is a very nice, beautiful part of the city. And instead of clicking on Chicago, you ended up clicking on Detroit. So now you are navigating Michigan Avenue of Detroit and not Michigan Avenue of Chicago. So you're on the right street, quote unquote. It says the right thing, but then things don't make sense. Everywhere you go is wrong. Every turn is wrong. You perceive the facts on the ground incorrectly. I remember there was one time I got turned around even in my own neighborhood, and I was passing by a bank. I'm like, oh my, that can't be that bank that I normally go to, because I didn't think I was there. It turns out it was exactly where I normally go to bank, just because I was turned around. My GPS was off. Another example, for some reason, my Google Maps, maybe someone can help me, thinks that I'm in New York. So when I say, Google, tell me the Home Depot near me, I get all the Home Depots in New York, New Jersey area. It's crazy. In other words, we have a map. Everyone has a moral GPS of how they perceive the world and what is right and what is wrong. And I want you to know that the Torah is the moral GPS of the Jewish people. It always has been, and it always will be. That's why when we talk about the Ten Commandments, they're on Shnei Luchot Abrit. They're on two tablets. They're etched in stone. In stone. Why? Why were they not on paper or papyrus? Etched in stone because it means they're immutable. They don't change. They don't change no matter what they're teaching at my alma mater, Stanford University, which changes with regularity at the blow of the wind of moral change and outrage. But the Torah does not change. It is etched in stone. We have 613 commandments for Jews. We have 7 basic commandments for the non-Jewish world. And I'd like to share with you that this isn't just the rabbi talking about how great the Jewish people are and what our immutable legal and moral GPS has been. But there's a person named Leo Tolstoy, you might have heard of him. He said in an unbelievable article called Jewish World Periodical, London, 1908. He said, and it's a long article, I'll quote just one thing. The Jew is that sacred being who has brought down from heaven the everlasting fire and has illumined with it the entire world. He is the religious source, spring, and fountain out of which all the rest of the peoples have drawn their beliefs and their religions. The Jew is the pioneer of civilization. Unbelievable. It goes on and on. It's truly incredible. That is just but one quote. Right, John Adams, the second president of the United States, says an unbelievable thing over here, again, 1806. I will insist that the Hebrews have done more to civilize men than any other nation. If I were an atheist and believed in blind eternal fate, I should still believe that fate had ordained the Jews to be the most essential instrument for civilizing the nations. He continues, they are the most glorious nation that ever inhabited this earth. They have given religion to 3/4 of the globe and have influenced the affairs of mankind more and more happily than any other nation ancient or modern. All right, I could keep going. Lots of others. Paul Johnson is a very famous quote. So what happened if it's so clear that we are the ones that provided this moral barometer, this moral code and compass? What happened? Well, okay, I'll give you a little snippet of what happened. So there was a guy named Albert Camus, and he was a famous philosopher. He also was quoted by Howard Zinn, one of the great enemies of morality of the world, who was, okay, won't go into Howard Zinn, but basically he was the one who began this whole effort to say that America is awful and bad. Now, Albert Camus had a very famous statement, said that basically it is the duty of all thinking people not to side with the executioner. Okay, now, all right, the world is filled with victims and executioners, and therefore you should not side with the side of the executioner. Well, that's great. Even made it to my senior page in high school in my yearbook. It sounds good. It sounds really good. Nice, of course. Who wants to side with the executioner? But when you oversimplify it and apply it to all situations, in every situation, if that's your only moral code, then all you need to do is grab that title of victim and you are good. And once you're the victim, then it blurs one's real moral compass of the facts, which is why in certain police shootings, instantly the police are wrong. Why? Why? Maybe they're just doing their job. Maybe they did the right thing. No, because we have a certain part of the population that's victims and certain part of the people are executioners. And at that point, facts do not matter anymore. And in fact, the great goal of this moral code is to become the victim, because when you're the victim, you're always right, even when you go and you slash off people's heads and kill babies. And shall I continue? Okay? This International Brotherhood of Victims has a fancy term that they're teaching in colleges that you're spending $250,000 or more sending your children to, called intersectionality. This intersectionality is now the new moral system. It's the new moral GPS that basically says that all victims are right. And therefore, you have very strange bedfellows. You have a crazy leftist, very, very leftist, with non-traditional values, supporting Hamas. Why? Because they're all victims, but they don't drill down to any of the details. If any of these people on campus, there's been a lot of spoofs about this, if any of these people on campus would go to Hamas, they'd be the first one that Hamas would kill, because Hamas hates these people, because they do not share their values. But somehow, when your only moral code, it's like cowboys and Indians, it's like good guys and bad guys, cops and robbers. It's such a shallow moral GPS. And therefore, you can come up with slogans like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which means that we will kill all the Jews. And they've been saying that for decades. Or you can say that at all costs, really, at all costs, meaning all those atrocities, it's all okay because we're the victim. And therefore, I can justify all of my iniquities because I'm just stopping the evil colonizers, the Jews, the Israelis. Okay, if you noticed, right in that very same week that after the tragedy, they had massive Day of Rage, Free Palestine rallies. Why? Because they became the executioners. They had to grab the title back of the victims, and therefore they complained how bad everything was because they couldn't face that moment of being the executioner, because at that moment they had to look in the mirror and take responsibility for their heinous acts. Okay, so that's the moral compass we live in. That is why the universities have not and cannot come out with scathing statements against Hamas, in addition to the billions of dollars that they've taken from the Arab Muslim world. Okay, that's another reason they've been bought off. Okay, but the question is now, what is our response on a Monday Motivation? What is our response? So therefore, our response must be to strengthen our moral compass by learning Torah. It is a spiritual battle. I've heard many, many reports of the soldiers not just the religious ones, saying, we feel the prayers of the Jewish people with us. We feel the force of the Tehillim, of the Psalms that we're saying, and of the mitzvahs that we're doing. And they're begging us, please, I get messages all the time. The soldiers are going in for this thing. You know, please, they're asking you to daven for them, to pray for them. So we need to strengthen our moral compass by learning Torah. If you have not started learning Torah, people, contact me. There's Partners in Torah. There's plenty of organizations out there. If you're a young professional in Chicago, talk to me. I even have an adult class once a month. Okay? There's no excuse. Every Jew needs to learn Torah today. Okay? The second thing is we need to detach from those institutions that will poison our minds and destroy our moral compass. This is a very painful thing for the American Jewish community that worshipped on the altar of secular elite colleges. And now it is painful when your pillars of existence come crumbling down. But there should be no Jewish parent that should send to these institutions. And I hate to sound radical. Maybe as a grad student when you give them a moral grounding when they're younger. But as an undergrad for 4 years to have that indoctrination, you're basically sending your child to have their mind ruined and paying them lots of money to do that. Okay? And, of course, so many other responses, but we need to applaud all of the Jews who are standing up in so many ways, giving money, giving their time, and really coming out of the closet to be counted as Jews today. It's a very scary thing, but a lot of Jews are waking up, and that is the first step to developing a moral GPS, to become the types of Jews that we can be and that we must be. And if anything comes out of this terrible tragedy, is that we can step up and embrace our moral GPS that truly has been the moral GPS and guidance for all of humanity, for all of history. God bless. We'll see you again back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.